This is the Pundits Podcast, sponsored by BetBright.
So Manchester United put four goals past Newcastle, looked pretty emphatic at the weekend, but that's the first time they've looked quite convincing in victory for a while. It also coincided with Paul Pogba returning to Man United.
What a coincidence.
Well, I was just about to ask, is it a coincidence, Stefan?
No, it's not a coincidence, no. Just to give the game away there. You know, Pogba's obviously a fantastic player, and we'll go into more detail about that right now, I suppose. But I think, you know, it really was just the fact that Man United had their engine back in midfield. Maybe engine's not the right word, actually, because I think he's a wee bit more nuanced in what he brings to the game, actually. But, yeah, the spark, whatever you want to call it, throw any cliche you can at it. Man United look a hell of a lot better when Paul Pogba's in midfield, simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, watching that game against Newcastle, Manchester United, it's almost as if Paul Pogba's importance was exposed by him being absent. Right? We knew he was in good form, we knew he was kind of becoming the player we thought he was going to be. The start of the season, he was very good, but in the weeks that he's been missing, it was really it exposed how much Manchester United actually rely on him. And I think the difference between this season and last season was Manchester United and Pogba himself were still kind of figuring out what... I mean, they shouldn't have been. We knew what kind of player he was from Juventus, but it seemed like Mourinho was figuring out how to use Paul Pogba. This season, he knows how to use him. The Matic signings completely liberated him. And it sounds really simple, but Paul Pogba just makes Manchester United a less predictable side. The number of times against Newcastle, he would do something completely out of the ordinary. He'd ping it diagonally for about 50 yards, or he'd dribble right through the middle, or he'd play a short pass, or he'd put, you know, a bit of skill or a through ball. He's completely unpredictable. I don't know if there's many players out there who are as unpredictable as him. A lot of people see that as a little bit of a weakness because it's difficult to predict what he's going to do. But in that Manchester United side, which is so regimented under Jose Mourinho, he's one of the few players who gets given the freedom to essentially do what he wants, and he's got that attacking freedom this year.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe just to continue on that point then, why is he so important for this Man United side? Because they have really struggled when he's not been there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I find it interesting that we use the term complete forward a lot to describe a striker that can do everything, but we don't really use the term complete midfielder, and I think that's probably the best way to describe Pogba. Kind of going off the back of what Graham just said there, that he does a bit of everything, and I think that's probably the best way to describe him. We tend to be pained to, or we just go to great lengths to try and categorise midfielders in the modern game, and I think Pogba just does kind of everything. I mean, if you want to look at simple stats, he scores goals, he creates assists, he's probably the highest player in Man United's team in terms of key passes, so like that's like the pass before the assist, blah, blah, blah. So he's obviously a hugely influential attacking talent in that midfield, and he scores as many goals as he creates, basically.
Yeah, I think part of the issue with Pogba and maybe not finding his role in that team initially was you look at Paul Pogba and he's obviously very physically imposing, very tall, very strong, very fast. You think he should be sitting deep as the natural... When you see a player like that, you think he's the barrier in front of the back four. And Paul Pogba's not really that player. He can do it to a certain extent, but where you want him is driving forward. In the attacking sense of the game, it's where he's best. And that's this season. There's nobody really at Manchester United who can do that. Ander Herrera is an attacking midfielder, but he's much more of a kind of nippy attacking midfielder than someone who's going to drive the ball. The number of times against Newcastle, Paul Pogba literally taking like three Newcastle players with him, almost on dragging them along. No one at Manchester United can do that. I don't know if there's many in the Premier League who can do that, and that's why he's such a difference maker for them.
I mean, he's obviously quite the character as well. Is he's
quite the character. Quite,
I'll just understate it slightly and let you, you know, build it up. His personality, is that as important as his ability on the pitch?
I would have said yes before the injury. Now I don't think so. Okay. I think the personality is important, but looking at that Manchester United side without him, it's in the tactical sense that I think he's even more important. I think a bit of colour around the dressing room helps, but he was still around the training ground. It was not like he disappeared. He was, you know, his character and personality was still there. It's in a tactical sense that I think he's so important to them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of wanting to compare him to Man United characters of the past. You know, Man United have always seemed to build teams off great characters and great personalities, but I do feel like you know, maybe that may be oversimplifying what he is a great tactical player. It's as simple as that, really, to be honest.
Fair enough. I mean, Benitez at the weekend, he said he's reminiscent of a Steven Gerrard type figure. Has he still got a while to kind of reach the level Gerrard was at, particularly in the Premier League? He's obviously a Premier League legend, Steven Gerrard. Where is he in that scale, if we're gonna compare?
Oh, he's obviously still got a long way to go, purely through the fact Steven Gerrard was around for a long time. But I don't see any reason why Paul Pogba can't get to that level. We're talking about a player who last year was the most expensive player in history, regardless of whether you thought he was worth it or not. This is a player who's won titles in Italy. He'll probably win Premier League titles in England. He's played in Champions League finals. So this is a guy, and he's only like, what, 23 or something? So in comparison to Steven Gerrard, I'd say he's probably already over, you know, achieving him. I don't know if Steven Gerrard is the best comparison, because I think Steven Gerrard was... I know why Rafa Benitez is doing that, because of course Steven Gerrard is probably the best midfielder he's ever coached, certainly at Liverpool. But I don't think Steven Gerrard was as much of a Swiss Army knife of a player as Paul Pogba is. Steven Gerrard was excellent, had an excellent shot, and I think that's maybe where the comparison comes from, as the kind of the goal-scoring midfielder. But I think that's a very simplistic way to look at two different players.
Yeah, that comparison really grated me as well, actually. I think Gerrard was pretty... If you wanted to kind of go down the old cliche and say Pogba's a physical box-to-box midfielder, then the Gerrard comparison makes sense to an extent. But that's probably where it does end. I think Pogba's far more better with the ball, you know, going past players and taking players out of games. Gerrard was never that player. Sure, when he was younger, he used to literally run past players down the middle of the pitch. But besides that,
not with the ball at his feet. Like,
yeah. Well, yeah. So I thought it was an odd comparison, and also Pogba's probably going to win a Premier League title. So. He could quite easily surpass Gerrard in that regard.
So if he's not a Gerrard, who is he reminiscent of?
That's a really difficult question. Maybe like a Yaya Toure at his peak. They're both quite physical players, I think.
I think he's like Toure in the sense that people initially just assume they're physical players, but then they peg one guy, dance around another.
That's the thing, you know. I don't want to get into the stereotypical, you know, big physical player being alike, but Yaya Toure at his peak would, you know, jink and dribble past players and obviously there is that physical aspect as well to them. So that, I suppose, they're quite reminiscent of each other. In terms of Manchester United, and these two guys are nowhere near in terms of the same type of player. They're nowhere near the same, but. In terms of a midfielder who imposes himself on the side, I don't see a Manchester United player who's as influential as Pogba since the days of, like, Roy Keane. I think Roy Keane is the last. Yeah, and even in that great Manchester United side of Paul Scholes in 2008 and Owen Hargreaves, all fantastic players. You could argue maybe better players. I'd certainly argue Paul Scholes anyway. But in terms of pure influence, you take Paul Pogba out of that Manchester United side, they're a completely different side. And that was the same with Roy Keane in the 1999 side and into the early 2000s. He had that sort of influence as well.
Yeah, I'm going to make a few odd comparisons, actually. Just purely on that idea that, you know, the bravado that he brings and the way he can skip past the player and completely open up games. The first person who really came to mind was actually Ronaldinho, which I find a bit weird.
Okay.
I'm not saying that Pogba's just a showman or he's just a, you know, he's full of tricks, but in the way that...
Well, he's not going to end up in nightclubs.
No, well, I mean, in the sense that he could just, you know, he could go past one or two guys and then midfield, the whole game completely opens up. Mm-hmm. And in that same regard, maybe a bit like Zidane, actually. I know you're not really supposed to lofty expectations. He's obviously not reached the level of Zidane, but in the sense that, you know, used to watch Zidane and used to do so many little things that would just completely open up the ball or take people out of the game. And he could do everything. So that's probably where I would draw the comparison. Maybe Cantona as well, in a sense, and personality-wise. But
okay, I mean, the price tag, Graham mentioned it briefly there, it'd be hard not to. Is it still something that weighs around his neck? Because he is a young man. I think he struggled in his first season. I think, like you said, that a big part of that was he's perhaps played at a position or not in his best position. Is he kind of coming into his own now, and is he starting to justify that price tag?
I mean, obviously the price tag is extortionate, but I don't think it's a factor anymore, purely because, of course, that has been smashed, the transfer fee, so no one refers to him as the most expensive player in the world. I think, again, it's all taken in context, but Paul Pogba now would cost more than the £89 million Manchester United paid for him last season. So in that regard, it's a inverted commas bargain that they got him for £89 million. Mourinho actually made that prediction when they signed them last year. He said, in a year's time, you're going to look back and the market will have exploded further and you'll think we've signed them at the right time. And I actually think Manchester United have absolutely signed Paul Pogba at the right time. He's coming into his peak now. I kind of take objection to the notion, I'm not blaming you personally, Neil, it is a widespread notion that Paul Pogba struggled last season. I think he struggled with his position, however, I think he was very much par. I think he was adequate. But this season, he's really becoming the dominant player at Manchester United. He's, you know, look at how Zlatan last season was the dominant figure at Old Trafford. He's still there this season, but yeah, it's now Pogba's team. This is Paul Pogba's team, even though Zlatan's back as well.
Yeah, I don't buy this idea that players even comprehend the money that they're spent on them, to be honest with you. I mean, these transfer prices are all just comparable to whatever is happening then and there. I mean, if he ever wants to get worried about how much he costs, he could just look at maybe like one or two of the Stoke players he's up against every week, and they probably cost about £30 million in this crazy market, and they're distinctly average players, you know. So it's, unless you really take the amount of money spent on him in isolation and then try and compare it to how many food banks it could afford or something like that, then yeah, sure, maybe that's probably. But in the actual
how many soldiers it could pay, any
guilt trip. I mean, so yeah, in the crazy, daft, baffling world of modern football and the money that's spent specifically in the Premier League, I don't think he's ever bad an eyelid of that sort of.
I don't know. I feel like he does take note of maybe not his price tag last season anyway, but I think the pressure that came with his price tag did affect him a little bit. I think he puts on quite a, obviously, a charismatic front, as we all know, but I don't know. I've watched games, put it this way, I've watched games with Paul Pogba and I've thought he's trying too hard. He's trying too hard to win this game on his own, and I think that comes from pressure I've got to deliver here. But now it just seems a lot more natural.
I was just going to say, do you not think that's just maybe his personality? Because he was like that at Juventus as well, where even before he was the main man, he was trying to impose himself as the main man, whether that be in central midfield or when he played in the left.
Well, maybe it might just be a result of his kind of high risk style play. Sometimes it just doesn't happen for him.
He's also a kid who Man United got rid of, you know. Maybe and he's now back at the club who once said you weren't good enough.
You better hope that Fergie doesn't see this saying that he got rid of him. He'll blame Mino Raiola for that little episode.
I mean, you mentioned Matic earlier on. How important is that signing for Matic being to allow Pogba to really kick on? I mean, you say he didn't have a poor season, but in comparison, I mean, and I think that's probably being a bit unfair because he's had quite a spectacular season when he's been fit this year. Mm-hmm. How important is Matic being in allowing him to be that complete midfielder that you guys have talked about?
Hugely. Matic is a completely, let me explain this, a completely unremarkable player in what he does. Nemanja Matic is not a very technically adept player. I wouldn't say he's, hear me out here, I wouldn't say he's particularly talented in the most obvious of ways. He just does his job really well. He just sits in front of the back four. He recycles possession. He is, I'll admit that he's a better passer than most people give him credit for. But he's just given Pogba the freedom. And even Juan Mata, players like that, he's had such an effect. At the start of the season, Mkhitaryan as well, though he's gone badly off the boil. I don't really know what's got happened with him. But Matic is, if Manchester United win the title this season or even next season, you'll look back at the signing of Nemanja Matic as a real kind of watershed moment.
Yeah, he's Paulo Ferreira Mark II, isn't he? He's a kind of player who, no, in the sense that, you know, Mourinho has these kind of, what was it, they call, lieutenants, they used to love calling them back in the day, these guys who will just happily do a job, and sure, they might not be the best player in the park, but they're always consistent, and most importantly, they're reliable, and you have a guy in midfield who can do that. That allows people like Pogba, Mata, and whoever else to really push on, knowing that if they lose the ball, then there's someone there who can sweep up, and that means they can be more imaginative, means they can be more creative, and it means they can ultimately go on and win games, because as we saw with Man United team, until Pogba got back into it, there's a lot of trepidation about losing the ball or not, or being too attacking, or being too, I don't know, creative in midfield or attack in case they lost the ball.
Just finally and briefly, because we are running out of time, Zlatan and his return, we talk about obviously how vital to this Man United side Pogba is. Zlatan's return, I think in the past you've made no secret that you were a bit concerned about him coming back to Man United. Do you still have those concerns with him returning the last weekend?
Yes, I do, because the first thing Zlatan Ibrahimovic did, and I don't know whether it was him or Mourinho, the first thing he did when he came off was came on, he went over to Lukaku and told him to go over to the right side, which instantly set a tone of, I'm the main man here, and I'm sorry, Zlatan Ibrahimovic shouldn't and isn't the main man at Manchester United anymore. Lukaku's the kind of player who needs an arm round his shoulder, he needs to feel trusted. So far this season, he has felt trusted. I don't know if Zlatan Ibrahimovic coming back changes that. Mm-hmm. If it does, that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, if you're on Twitter during this game, you would have thought like Star Wars was back or something. The way that people were going on about Zlatan, he's returned. You know, I saw some posts saying the sport hasn't been the same since he left. I thought this is absolute nonsense. He's a good player, but for God's sake. So yeah, I don't get the hype, if I'm honest with you, and I certainly don't think that Man United should be, as Graham just said, working themselves around his skill set as a striker. Keep Lukaku, keep Pogba, and carry on.
Thank you for listening to the Pundits podcast, sponsored by BetBright. We'll be back again next week with another episode.